1 John 3, 1-7, NIV. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. 1 John 3, 1-7, First Nations Version. Behold the greatness of the love shown to us by our Father, the Great Spirit, that he would call us his children. And so we are. The ones who belong to the ways of this world do not know the giver of life, so they do not see us in this way. Much loved friends, we are now Creator's children. It is not yet clear what we will be, but we know that when the Chosen One appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he truly is. All who through him have this hope will keep themselves pure, the same way that he is pure. All who walk in broken ways are trampling over the law of the Chosen One, for all broken ways go against his law. You know he came to do away with bad hearts and broken ways, that in him there are no broken ways. The ones who remain in harmony with him do not walk in broken ways. Those who walk in broken ways have not truly seen or known him. My much loved children, do not let anyone take you down the wrong path. The Chosen One always did what was right, so the ones who keep walking his right ways show that they are in good standing with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be God.
You may be seated.
For a few minutes on today, I want to preach from the topic, God's love. I do not know what kind of week you've had. I do not know how many of you are feeling overwhelmed, and I do want to thank one of our liturgists, Elizabeth, for lifting up some of the conditions that people bring into this setting. A sense of being overwhelmed, a sense of being exhausted, a sense of trying to figure things out, and you just can't figure things out. You're tired, and you wish you could press a pause button that would allow you to get off of the roller coaster called life so that you can just catch your breath. I don't know what you're bringing into this special setting on today, but my hope and prayer is that through this entire worship experience, you will be refreshed, renewed, and prayerfully, you will be reminded of who you are and whose you are. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart bless you this day. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God's love. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16, we are reminded that God loves the world. If I were to ask you to recite that familiar scripture, you would. So join me in doing so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The world has the opportunity to respond to that love by receiving God's love gift, if you will, Jesus Christ, as the Savior and Lord. For those who do respond to God's love by repenting of their sins and inviting Jesus Christ into their lives as Savior and Lord, they become children of God. The following text informs us of this unique and special relationship. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 52, Romans, chapter 8, verse 16, to name just a few of the scriptures that remind us of our unique relationship with God because we have accepted Jesus Christ into our lives as Savior and Lord, this relationship of Creator, parent, and children, children of God. Remember, the author of 1 John is writing to his faith community as a result of heresy and false teachings. So I would suggest to you, my suggestion, that this epistle is an epistle of remembrance. He wants his faith community to remember because the false teachings are trying to destroy the true teachings of the gospel. So through today's reading, you and I and this faith community known as Evangel Heights United Methodist Church are called to remember several facts about our relationship with God. And not only Evangel Heights United Methodist Church, but those family and friends who are worshiping with us, who also have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We're called to remember several facts about our relationship with this God who has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. The author of 1 John is writing near the end of the first century. And I said it before, and you know what it's like when you find yourself in the midst of people who are sharing what they believe and you discover that it's not what the Word of God has said. The author of 1 John has deep concerns about his faith community understanding of the gospel. Again, since there were false teachings circulating within the church. Let me also say to you, in addition to writing out of a deep concern for the faith community, he's also writing to this community of faith to add to their joy. Chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 4. He's writing to keep them from sin. We see evidence of that as we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He warns them again about false teachers. Chapter 2, verse 26. And he's writing to them to strengthen their faith in Christ and to assure them of eternal life. And you can see the evidence of that in chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 13. Yes, last week I shared that the false teachers who had left the church were denying that Jesus was the Christ or the Messiah. You can see that in chapter 2, verse 22 of 1 John. They had also denied the humanity of Jesus, the Word of Life. And we talked about how that false teaching would undermine who Jesus Christ truly is, fully human as well as fully divine. Yes, they had separated themselves from the community because of their unwillingness to acknowledge that Jesus was a physical human being. As I said on last week, we should find comfort in knowing that God's Son, fully divine, was also fully human, because what that means is whatever we experience, we know that he has experienced it as well, except for sin. We know that when we come up against a situation that brings forth estrangement, that brings forth confusion, that brings forth this sense of not feeling like life is worth living, we know that because Jesus was fully human, he can get in touch with our weaknesses. And because Jesus is fully divine, Jesus can help us to work through those feelings, those emotions. And let me just say this to you. This is an aside, not in my notes. If you find that you don't think life is worth living, Jesus utilizes his vessels to assist you. So I would encourage you to dial 988, the hotline, the suicide and mental crisis hotline. Yes, yes, yes. These individuals who left the church claimed that they had not sinned and therefore they did not need to receive forgiveness. So, here's the question I want to raise, and I also want to answer. What good news can we glean from today's scripture? First of all, as I look at this epistle lesson, the first thing that I want you to take hold of and wear like a garment and allow it to be infused in your heart is that God loves you. No. Look at the text. God loves you lavishly. God loves you extravagantly. God loves you luxuriously. Claim that. For those of us who are members of this faith, I don't care how you feel. The word says, God loves you. Amen. Yeah, I think we should say amen to that.
Amen.
The second lesson that we can glean from this text is that our relationship with God can be harmed by sin. The author says to the church, don't sin. And yet, if you do sin, there's an answer. Even when we sin, this God that we serve, this God who loves us lavishly, is a God of provision. Even when we do sin, God has provided a way for us to return to God, to that relationship with God. What is the way, you may ask? The way is to confess our sins. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 states, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them find mercy. The good news for us today, for those who are tired, mentally exhausted, attempting to put one foot in front of the other, those who are walking around in a state of self-condemnation, constantly reminded by the self-condemning tapes that we are not enough, the good news is God loves us. And when sin interrupts that relationship with God, we can confess our sins and be returned into a right relationship with God. Let me just say this to you about this extravagant love again. Even before you even thought about wanting to have a relationship with God, God demonstrated God's extravagant, luxurious love for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 states, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, God has provided a way for us to return to that relationship with God. And that way is repentance. One of my favorite scriptures is found in 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 9, that I remind myself of when I've sinned, when I've messed up, when I've missed the mark. That's what sin means. When I have sinned, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The psalmist found herself in distress, similar to some distress that some of you may be experiencing today. She calls out to God with the assurance that God, who is in the midst of her distress, will hear her. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 4. And will meet her need. She reminds us that God, this God who has extravagant love for us, is attentive to us. This God who loves us, who longs to be in a relationship with us through Jesus Christ, as God who longs to be in fellowship with us, continues to call us to search our hearts to make sure that there is no sin that will separate us from God. Yes, the psalmist had the assurance. Do you have the assurance of knowing that when you call out to God, God will not only hear, but God will respond to your prayers? If you don't have that assurance, I invite you this day to set aside some time, just you and God, and share with God your unbelief, your not being sure. You're questioning whether this God who pours God's extravagant, lavish love upon God's children. Share with God your doubts. Share with God your uncertainties. And then allow God to speak to you, to reassure you, to remind you that God is not man that God should lie, nor the Son of Man, that God should repent. And because God's word says in 1 John chapter 3 that God lavishes us with love, know that God does. So it's not about your feeling God loves you or not. No, it's about what does the word of God say? Yes, 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 yes. Today, may the good news of God's love and God's provision through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins and claims us as God's own, bring you peace and bring you assurance. Amen. Loving God, we are your people. You know each heart. You know each mind. Continue to reveal to us just how much you love us. And for those who do not know you fully as revealed through Jesus Christ, may this day they decide to enter into a relationship with you. By one, acknowledging that they are separated from you because of sin. May they confess that sin and may they receive your gift of Jesus Christ. May they invite Jesus Christ into their lives so that they can be in a relationship with you so that they can become your children. And for those of us who are your children, for those of us who think we have you all figured out, continue to reveal the depth of your love to us. For the writer of 1 John said, we are not fully aware of all that we shall be, but we know that when Christ returns, we will discover even more so. It will be revealed to us who we are. We offer up to you these petitions as we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.